Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm pleased to be speaking today with Sharon Dizani Martin. Did I say that right, Sharon?
You did.
Okay. Sharon is a professor in the Department of Nursing at St. Joseph's College in Standish, Maine, and with her colleagues Lisa Brown and Michael Reed, they wrote for us in our December issue an original research piece, Predictors of Nurses' Intentions to Work During the 2009 Influenza A H1N1 Pandemic. And you may think, well, 2009, that's so long ago. But the implications are there for what employers might be thinking about in order to ensure an adequate workforce during future crises. So, Sharon, tell me a little bit how about you got involved in doing this.
Well, it actually started quite a while about 2005. I was preparing one of the classes for my community health course, and one of the classes is emerging diseases. And what I found was the most important emerging disease at that time was bird flu. So I started studying bird flu and became very, very interested in this, and actually have written and published a number of articles on that. And I was also at that time in my doctoral program, and I needed to do research. And I said, well, all right, let's develop some research on bird flu and whether people will show up to work during a bird flu outbreak. Well, little did I know that when I prepared my research, that at the moment I was ready to send the research out to subjects, here we were in the middle of a real pandemic. It wasn't bird flu, it was H1N1, but it did have some...
But it would do.
It would do, and it had some actual bird genetics in it. So I guess you could call it bird flu. It wasn't the H5N1, but... Mm-hmm. So there we were. I said, I mean, what are the chances of this happening? It's kismet or something. So anyway, I sent it out, and I think it actually improved the results because I wasn't just asking about a possibility. We were in the middle of the second phase of that outbreak.
Some of the respondents may have already been thinking about this, like about this whole issue of what would I do?
Absolutely. I think they were.
And so you surveyed, you sent a questionnaire to a random sample of 1,200 nurses from Maine,
yes.
RNs and LPNs.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
I did stratify it, so there was a proper proportion.
Mm-hmm. And so talk a little bit about, if you went into it with some expectations of what you thought you might find and then what you did find.
Well, I expected to see a certain percent unwilling to work under any circumstances, and I did find that. I expected to see the perception of threat affecting the percent willing to work, and I did find that too. The folks who said I have no or minimal perception that this is going to hurt me, 90 to 93% would say, sure, I'm going to work. Mm-hmm. The folks who said, I have a very high perception that this is going to hurt me, only about 56% said, yes, I'm going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see it. It was very statistically significant in terms of went right down. So in this particular outbreak we had in 2009, we didn't have much trouble maintaining a nursing workforce. Part of that was because the perception of threat was very low.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
because you were in the second phase at that point, so
right, and people, not too many people were dying, and we didn't see great commotion in social situations. But people weren't canceling church and that kind of thing to try and decrease the flu. It's not like in 1918 when people were, bodies were literally stacked up in the streets. Mm-hmm. In the great pandemic of 1918. So I guess part of the important findings is as long as nurses perceive it to be a low threat, we're going to get a pretty good turnout, 90, 93% along those lines. But the minute I started adding these other situations and factors, I noticed even those who told me, yes, I'm going to show up for work, started dropping out.
Now, what factors were those?
Well, the biggest was personal protective equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the most important finding. Do not expect nurses to show up for work if you do not provide them with what they consider to be adequate personal protective equipment.
So gowns, the appropriate mask. I remember the mask were a big issue, in not just having a mask, but the right kind of mask.
That's right. And it has to be the appropriate personal protective equipment, and nurses know what that is. So the willingness to work, even among those who initially told me yes, 93% said yes, went down to, what was it, 6% or some crazy mm-hmm. amount when I gave a hypothetical, well, are you going to show up if there's no personal protective equipment available? I kept taking personal protective equipment out of the mix and mm-hmm. saying, okay, you're going to show up with this, you're going to show up with that. Yeah, it went right down to almost mm-hmm. things. And so that was one of the biggest findings.
And was it? What about, worrying about family, that bringing this home to family if they had ill family members or very young children, was that also part of it?
That was the other major finding.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about just worrying about one's employees. Employers must also concern themselves with the families of the employees, because if the employees perceive their families to be at risk, they are also likely not to show up for work.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of personal protective equipment, nurses see that as a way to protect their families.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I don't get it, then I won't bring it home, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anytime I added a question in there, are you going to show up if someone at your home is sick and needs care, something like that, the willingness to work dropped dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
That problem with work-home obligations was just so evident in the findings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And employers really must concern themselves greatly with the safety and well-being of the family. And the nurses have to perceive it that way, too. They have to say, this employer is worried about me and is concerned about my family. And then they will show up for work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, what about the factor of having been vaccinated or offering vaccinations? That didn't have as much of an influence, if I recall correctly.
It didn't, which surprised me.
Oh, okay.
I thought that nurses would really find that highly enticing, and they didn't. And I didn't originally mm-hmm. understand that. And when I said, and we would offer it to your family, too, I actually got less nurses willing to work, and I said, okay, I have to think about this. And
yeah, that seems to be contradictory to what you just said about the employer worrying about them and their families.
I know, it does.
Yeah.
And I had to go back and look at the qualitative comments to make any sense out of that. The qualitative comments suggested that nurses were perceiving these things that I was suggesting, give vaccine to you and your family, not as offering it, but as mandating it.
Oh.
And I was getting very negative comments written in, because I invited the nurses to write in anywhere they wanted, anything they wanted. And I got this beautiful qualitative research out of it, too. And that's where I was able to understand why they were responding like that. They saw it as employers trying to twist their arm, uh-huh. trying to make them do something they didn't want to do, and trying to make their family do something they didn't mm-hmm. want the family to have to do. So then it all made sense.
Yeah, and that's been a big issue, as we saw from the pandemic the initial phases, at least I know down here in New York, there was some hospitals were mandating it, and nurses' unions and the associations came out in favor of, you know, urging but not mandating.
And that was smart, because the minute you mandate, you actually decrease the number of nurses willing to work. You don't increase it.
Mm-hmm. So that's this is a very good lesson for a lot of the employers who are still mandated. Some places it is still mandated, and I believe some have softened. And if you didn't get the flu shot, I think the other option was to wear a mask. Then
that's what we've been doing here in Maine, and mm-hmm. it seems to be working very well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People just don't respond to mandates very well.
Mm-hmm.
The other kind of mandate was some states, and I can't remember, I don't want to say a state and then mm-hmm. be wrong, passed laws that if you don't show up during a public health emergency, you'll lose your license. And that, you should have seen the comments they wrote in about that.
I can imagine.
That is a very, very bad thing to do. The best thing to do, you want everybody who's going to show up, is provide them with the best personal protective equipment available and show that you care about them mm-hmm. and the safety of their family. And then you're going to get a pretty good return mm-hmm. of nurses who are willing to work.
Mm. So I imagine there were some who, no matter what you would do, were not going to show up.
That's right. They're in a low perceived threat, like the 2009, it was about 6 or 7%. I'm not showing up. I don't care. There's nothing you can do. They would actually write things like that into, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, don't offer me this. Don't offer me that. I'm not showing up. And that's the end of that. And what I found was there was not one single predictor that would improve though that particular portion of nurses to actually increase their willingness to work. Nothing I offered increased their willingness to work.
Hmm. Yeah, you even had double time and triple time.
I originally had quadruple time in there, and I finally took it out because I saw that double and triple didn't work, so quadruple sounded stupid. So I took it out of the research.
So I guess that's, you know, there are some people who are never going to show up no matter what, some people who will show up no matter what, but then the vast majority are kind of, well, if there are certain conditions, will come.
Oh, you know, you just brought up an interesting avenue of research I wanted to follow. Some people will show up no matter what. There are some people, there's a name for it, and I can't remember, but...
Florence Nightingale comes to mind.
Yeah, inappropriate responders is what I think of them as. People who are sick should stay home and don't. There is a small percentage of nurses mm-hmm. who fall into that category mm-hmm. as well. And they are just as dangerous as the folks who say, no, I'm not showing up, I don't care what you do. So we do have a certain percentage of those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point. So I'm gathering from our conversation, your main message for employers would be get that protective equipment if you expect to have nurses come and work during pandemics or even just bad flu season.
If it's a communicable disease, yes, you have to provide personal protective equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the best thing you can possibly do. And make sure the nurses know that you care about them and their families, the health and well-being of them and their families.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Sharon. I hope everyone does read the study either in print or online or on their iPad. And we'd love to get comments, which you can do on Facebook. We will be posting the links on Facebook. And we'll probably do a blog post on our blog, AJN Off the Charts, just highlighting the article and summarizing it and publicizing the key points. So I hope people will listen to this podcast, too, because I think you encapsulated very nicely for those busy people who can't read the whole thing but certainly need to get to this information. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.